We're hearing music of Bach in an arrangement by Reverend Bill Carter, Jesu, Joy of Man's Desiring. Reverend Carter and two of his colleagues from Clark Summit are asking us to consider joy and what it might mean to make a joyful noise with one another. And they do so with light hearts and even humor-filled hearts, as we'll soon hear, putting us in mind of cartoonist Charles Schulz of Charlie Brown fame. Reminded that Charles Schulz saw that humor lightened the load of living and could bring a wink of joy into our lives. His cartoons frequently were seen as modern-day parables on life. One particular cartoon has Lucy and Snoopy in conversation. Lucy says to Snoopy while he is dancing, "How can you be happy when you don't know what this year has in store for you? Don't you worry about all the things that can happen?" Snoopy stops and ponders. Lucy continues, "That's better. Live in dread and fear. Be sensible." Snoopy hangs his head, feeling the pressure of Lucy's words. The next scene is Snoopy returning to the frame, dancing his heart out, and saying, he, and her. That from Angela Ann Zukowski in an essay titled The Grounding Spirit of Joy. So, the Reverend Bill Carter, Monsignor Joseph Quinn, and Pastor Mark Terwilliger of the Abingtons Ecumenical Ministerium are coordinating what they're calling a Holy Hootenanny on Sunday, January 21st, inviting us to come together with choirs from all through their region to, as the poster says, sing for joy. Okay, but what about the title Holy Hootenanny? That sends us back to Charlie Brown and music by Vince Guaraldi that we associate with Linus and Lucy and Snoopy and the gang. This, though, is music as well by Vince Guaraldi, composed for performance at Grace Cathedral in San Francisco in 1965.
In 1964, a young Episcopal priest, Charles Gumperts, in San Francisco, got on the horn and said to his bishop, James Pike, "Bishop, you called this youth event coming up a holy hootenanny. I don't think that's befitting the church." And Bishop Pike said, "Okay, it's your event now. You fill the cathedral," hung up the phone. And that led to the first ever jazz mass as composed and performed by a guy named Vince Guaraldi, the Charlie Brown jazz guy. So that was the phrase, Holy Hootenanny. But it really is relevant for these wise guys as well, because all of us come from some perspective of music, and we'd love to make some music for our community and to bring all these different voices together. We have Mark Terwilliger, and he is an astounding musician as well as a long-established United Methodist minister. He is at the Countryside Community Church in Newton Township. And over here, raconteur and the best-looking priest on public radio, Monsignor Joseph Quinn, who is from the aptly named Our Lady of the Snows.
Where we're doing our best to live up to our wintry name.
Yes.
We know Our Lady Star of the Sea, we know all the appellations for Mary. What's the reference with the snows?
Well, the reference of the title itself, in the Catholic Church, there are many, many titles that go with Mary and Marian apparition. But Our Lady of the Snows goes all the way back to the early centuries to a church in Rome, where there was a family that wanted to build something new in the Diocese of Rome, and weren't too sure where to do so. And suddenly there was an unexpected snowstorm in early August in Rome, and the greatest amount of snow fell on the site of where this church was built, near Santa Maria Maggiore, the great site for it. So it's not a title often used, but I don't think I've told my brothers here today, but actually As I left New York to return to the Diocese of Scranton, I met a classmate of mine from Rome who is assigned to a church called Our Lady of the Snows in Connecticut, where they had just written a whole new jazz version of a song called Our Lady of the Snows.
Are you making this up?
No. We used it. It's a beautiful rendering we've used in the parish. We actually premiered it at the Country Bazaar.
Well, I think it needs a dusting off.
I would say so, or at least a shoveling, yes.
Bill, we know your background, but tell us a little bit about your connection to music, if they haven't heard us speaking before. You're a pianist.
I am, and a composer. I was directed toward piano lessons at age 8 because I was clumsy. And my parents thought if I could figure out how to get my hands working together, that I could walk down the street and not stumble in the crack of a sidewalk. That never actually helped. But I fumbled along until about age 13 when I heard ragtime for the first time. And then the music moved from being externally imposed, you shall sit and practice for 10 minutes, to internally driven, because I just loved what it did to me and my spirit. And what happened when I made music for other people brought them alive, too.
Your story.
Well, I started, my father played music at college. He had a ukulele and mandolin and banjo. And my grandmother before him, his mother, played harmonica. And so it was, it was basically chamber music, what people used to do for entertainment before the electronic age. And, you know, up till her dying day, my grandma, you know, would not know who I was or couldn't name her kids or her deceased husband. But if you said, Grandma, let's play Red Wing or Turkey in the Straw or something, she could grab the mouth organ and she could play it. So that was kind of the ambiance of my family. At the time I started taking any kind of lessons, I was 7 years old, living in Santiago, Chile, where my father was headmaster of an international school. And it seemed everybody played guitar there. And my older sisters were taking guitar lessons. So, of course, you know, I wanted to do what my sisters were doing. So I got to take guitar as well. And it just kind of carried through. And I ended up going to undergraduate and graduate school for classical guitar.
Monsignor, your turn.
Well, I can't claim that kind of formal education, but I think what Bill had just said about, what'd you say, externally imposed?
To internally driven.
To internally driven. Well, I'd say it all does start with externally imposed. I'm one of 12 children, and to testify to the singular nature of the talents that God gives us, all 12 took piano lessons, but I'm the only one, ultimately, who stayed with it, probably because by the time I got to high school, I found out that people would pay you to play. And so through high school, through college, through law school, I was out at many a supper club and many a lounge playing the piano and learning that there was more music than the nuns had taught me in grade school along the lines of Bach and Mozart. And I discovered Broadway and many other things that people love to hear. And then for 20 years here in the community, the production with jazz bands from Marywood University and Brass and Ivory under Kenny McGraw's direction, with Chris DiMatteo and John Cosgrove hosting the show, we had 12 to 15 priests every year who would entertain under the name of Cathedral Capers and later years Carbondale Capers.
So you all are geographically connected.
We're neighbors, all in the same zip code.
Mm-hmm. You might be coming together for church suppers, but how is it that the music is what is bringing you together?
I think partly it's because the Abington Ministerium has gone through a rebirth in the last year and a half. So Bill's been here long enough that he was part of it when it was alive in the past. And I suppose just because clergy come and go, there was an attrition. And I think this has become like a catalyst, maybe, the Holy Hootenanny, our first public event to say, hey, we're now, you know, working together as churches, you know, we've been meeting as clergy, but now this is something that's going to bring us together, to which the public is invited.
And we'll be doing more as the year transpires. There is a plan for a springtime crop walk to raise awareness and funding for global hunger and alleviating that, but also to help our community in this time of great political division, to find out that we are stronger together than we are in our own little nook. Mm-hmm.
And how did you decide that this would be a holy hootenanny? That makes it welcoming and sounds fun.
Well, we looked at the real genius in our midst, Bill Carter, who suggested that maybe it was time to go beyond a simple prayer service where we just all gathered and stood in front of our peoples and showed them that we are connected and that we have more in common than divides us, to something maybe a little more unique, a little bit more enlivening, we pray. And I think we recognize that there is a great, great bond in music that takes us beyond any divisions, any walls, and that lifts up hearts and can unite souls.
And I would never claim to be a genius. But I do recall years ago we did something like this. It was like a choir festival for the Abingdon Ministerium 10 years ago or so. And it was the best attended event because you not only get the choirs, you get their friends, you get their families, and you get others who are drawn to the quality of the music. And we're going to come from music from different perspectives, but it's going to be great fun. We're going to try to keep it to an hour. I believe there might be playoff games or something else going on that weekend, but it is a great opportunity. And St. Benedict's is a wonderful, accessible space on one level with great parking and very close to downtown Clark Summit.
There's a dozen different Christian communities located in the Abingtons, and we've invited all of them to come forward with their choirs. Our hope is that all of the individual choirs will be able to perform a song or two, and that we will conclude by all coming together and singing as one group. We also hope we will make that statement by opening with an opening song. It's been suggested that an appropriate song for the day simply is All Are Welcome. I think all of our choirs are individually determining kind of what's their best number, what shows off their gifts and their talents best of all, and what speaks to the event. This is all taking place during the annual week of Prayer for Christian Unity, which runs from January 18th to January 25th, always culminating on the Feast of St. Paul. And our event itself is scheduled for January the 21st at 2 o'clock at St. Benedict's.
I know our choir is going to do a gospel music version of the Magnificat, which I was walking through one day in the sanctuary, and they were rehearsing this, and the organist kind of looked up from the piano bench and said, I'm not quite getting the rhythm. How about if you play this? And was drafted quickly. It's just great, great fun. And it transcends our own little kind of Presbyterian enclave. It's a common text, the Song of Mary singing for justice, and all of us wish to affirm that. We'll be clapping our hands with this one. I know that.
The song that is most likely going to be the number one choice of Countryside's choir is one called Giving Thanks, and it's kind of a reggae-style piece. So they really enjoyed learning it, and it has a solo part, and the choir's just singing, you know, underneath it.
Are you going to play the bass for that?
I'm going to play the bass on that one,
okay.
Yes.
And are you going to accompany your group?
I think I am. There are much better pianists, but I think, you know, this is the best they can do.
Have any of you played with each other as musicians?
Actually, Bill and I have played together, but until today, Joe and I didn't know each other were even musicians.
Mark drafted me years ago to play at an event at the park in Honesdale, near where he was serving. And Father Joe and I have done a couple of things, and I think there's the possibility the three of us might actually make some music together.
That's possible. We drafted Bill to play with a group in Honesdale that came out of Central United Methodist Church called the Church Street Jazz Encounter. And Norman Sullivan was our band member, came up with the name. His reason is it's probably the only place on Church Street where you're liable to encounter jazz. So the Church Street Jazz Encounter.
Sounds very hip, doesn't it?
It was.
Yeah. Well, and I drafted Mark right after he moved to town for a concert one summer night in Clark Summit. We put together a band called the Holy Smoke Jazz Quartet.
Aptly named.
Aptly named.
But each of us, I love the fact that each of us will be accompanying our own group in some fashion. I know that they call it my default song because we keep going back to it because it has a lively beat. But the song from the Broadway play Godspell, Day by Day, will be part of what our choir will be sharing that day with the hopes that we can engage the same foot-tapping and hand-clapping, lively nature of what this event truly will
be. I think
be.
I'll bring a tambourine.
Lyrics that are appropriate there, Monsignor?
Well, I'd certainly the song you mentioned earlier, Day by Day, is one that is truly appropriate based upon a 13th century prayer day by day, three things I pray: to see thee more clearly, to love thee more dearly, and to follow thee more nearly. You know, a message that I think is one that all of us nod our heads, yes, you know, one that is needed to be heard again. In addition to the opening song of All Are Welcome, we'll be closing with How Can I Keep From Singing, which is a terrific song for a community which we hope will be on its feet by then.
And, I think so.
And singing and swaying with all of us. But I think it's a day of joy, and C.S. Lewis has noted joy is still the serious business of heaven. And an event like this, a holy hootenanny, underscores that. And if there's anything I think all of us are searching for in our world of today, in our culture of today, it is light and joy.
So we're invited on Sunday, January 21st, 2 in the afternoon at St. Benedict's. Does someone want to cite some of the others? We wouldn't want to leave them out.
The Dalton United Methodist Church, the First Baptist Church of Factoryville, Our Lady of the Abingtons, as well as Our Lady of the Snows, Trinity Lutheran,
Clark's Green Assembly of God, Clark's Summit United Methodist, Church of the Epiphany.
And the Waverly United Methodist Church. So wonderful communities, lots of joy, lots of excitement. I think there's any way to warm up cold hearts in these winter days, it is with the gift of music. Yeah. And that's what we've all kind of talked about, just the power of music to move lives, to lift up hearts, and truly make for a joyful day.
Yeah. And we may not always sing the same notes, but we can certainly sing in harmony.
Absolutely.
And that's what we're going to be singing in.
Absolutely.
The tempest loudly roars, I know the truth, it liveth.
The Reverend Bill Carter of the First Presbyterian Church of Clark's Summit, Monsignor Joseph Quinn of Our Lady of the Snows, and Pastor Mark Terwilliger of the Countryside Community Church, all of the Abingtons Ecumenical Ministerium, coordinating what they're calling a holy hootenanny on Sunday, January 21st at 2 p.m., inviting the community to come together with choirs from all through their area to, as the poster says, sing for joy at St. Benedict's Church, 1849 Newton Ransom Boulevard in Clark's Summit. For more information, you are able to check Facebook, facebook.com/Abington-Ecumenical-Ministerium. That's Facebook, Abington Ecumenical Ministerium. The event is a holy hootenanny on Sunday, January 21st at 2 in the afternoon. For more information, again, facebook.com/Abington-Ecumenical-Ministerium.
And hear their death knells ringing when friends rejoice both far and near. How can I keep from singing?
How can I keep from singing the culminating song as part of the Holy Hootenanny, Sunday, January 21st at 2, St. Benedict's Church, Newton Ransom Boulevard, Clark's Summit.
To them are winning when friends by shame.